right. This is Pew Decking for April the 25th, 2015. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and not playing Grand Theft Auto 5. Unlike everybody else in the usual channels. I'm Morps, and tonight we have with us the RU486. The Anthony, who I don't think has done a decking in a very long time.
I've never done an actual decking. Well, like years ago, but no, not in a long time.
Good Lord, we've been doing this show long enough for somebody to say, oh yeah, years ago. And Sard.
Hello. No, 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 Sard. That's right, bitches. I'm here. I'm back. Ready to rock.
So, sorry I missed last week's show. I was sick off my ass. So, you gotta love that good can't get out of bed because you're too damn dizzy sick. That's always fun.
That's awful.
That's called Tuesday.
Fair enough. Well, I'm actually drinking coffee right now, but I'll be switching over to some Gentleman Jack here later in the show. Are you? What do you got?
Radioactive laced water and next door neighbor's water garbage.
You make your coffee out of interesting components, sir.
I do. I'm very environmentally friendly when it comes to this.
Anthony, what are you drinking, man?
Oh, I got straight from the tap water.
Well, living dangerous.
No kidding. Sard, what do you got, man?
This is gonna make me sound like a pussy, but I have an iced coffee.
Wait, iced coffee?
Iced coffee, yeah.
Oh, fuck it.
Did you make it yourself? Did you get it at Starbucks?
No, I got it at Dutch Brothers. This shit is tasty.
Like I think said, Arjun's going to need a new larynx.
I know. I knew he was going to go off the hook on it.
Is it double frappe latte Fagamo?
No. It's called Annihilator. At least that's a cool name.
No, nobody disputes that that other thing was a real drink.
It is called an annihilator, though, which is makes it a little cooler,
I'll
right?
I'll have to give you some concessions. Last week when I was on holidays, I had to drink wanky coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, straight up double espresso. That was it. But I didn't have my own coffee maker. $3.50 a cup's a killer every morning.
Yeah.
Especially when you have to actually go to the coffee shop.
You haven't priced out the expensive Keurig shit, have you?
Oh, dude, I said, like, there was some... Any place that you go that has the word smashed avocado, you know you're getting overcharged. It's fucking smashed avocado. You know, how fucking stoned is this shit? You know, like, smashed avocado, fuck off.
Penn and Teller did a TV show a few years back called Bullshit, and one of the early ones they did was they took people into this fancy restaurant and had the waiter give them some bullshit story about how, where their food was coming from, and they had gone down to like the gas station,
nice.
And gotten like the cheapest shit they could, and then had somebody in the back kind of work it a little bit. And so it looked decent. And they had all these people on cameras talking about how wonderful the food was and all this other stuff. And it's like, you're eating gas station food, dude. But they did some fun ones with regards to how stuff is presented to you. So
yeah, I guess that's a good series. I'd highly recommend anyone who hasn't seen it, go and watch it.
Yeah, just to understand it will make you depressed. How things work. A little hard on religion, but yeah. Whatever. So, moving on to the actual discussion, and unless everybody's seen Bullshit and wants to talk about that instead, because that's more interesting than Comcast dropping their Time Warner Cable merger.
Really? They dropped that?
Yeah, they gave up.
What did they cite?
Well, let's see. Comcast has officially abandoned its... the story I have is from The Verge, but it's all over the place. Comcast has abandoned its $45 billion merger with Time Warner Cable after encountering resistance from regulators. Today we move on. Of course, we would have liked to bring great products to new cities. Bullshit. But we structured this deal so that the government didn't agree. We could walk away. said Comcast chairman and CEO Brian Robertson in a statement. Comcast NBC Universal is a unique company with a strong momentum of raping their customers. I mean, did I say that out loud? Shit. Throughout this entire I got a nasty phone call from them the other day.
I'm thinking you're probably going to get one on Monday or whenever this goes to air. Cease and desist.
I'm not a fan of Comcast. I mean, their service has been all right, but every time I've had to deal with them on the phone, holy shit.
Well, you realize they're the most hated company, like, as far as customer relations. So you're not alone there.
Well, they flat out lie to you, too, when you're signing up for the service. They tell you it's going to be one thing for a month, and when you actually get the bill, it's completely different. When you call them up, it's like, oh, yeah, no, that's what it is. It's like, that's not what they sold me. And, so you don't want internet then because there's no one else in the area? It's just like, fuck off. I mean, it's pretty bad.
I heard you wanted a bag of weed, but here's your meth. But yes. I want the weed. Yeah, but we only sell meth.
So, I mean, I've had worse problems with cable companies than I've had with Time Warner, but not by Comcast, but not by much. So... Anyways, so they've got a platitudes, blah, 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 blah. Basically, they didn't think they were going to get past the FCC and Justice Department and all the other government bodies that have to approve mergers of that size.
Yeah.
So they dropped it. And I know a lot of people are saying how wonderful and great it is. You know, these are the same people who think net neutrality is a good thing. But, because, you know, that's doing a lot of good for us. Has anybody seen anything come out of net neutrality yet? Because I haven't.
Not actually, no.
No. I mean,
that's what worries me too.
I know they're going to be making a... I think Verizon's working on a lawsuit, but I've not seen any actual changes come from this. So.
Yeah, devil's in the details. That's what worries me too, is how they... Oh. What happens.
Yeah.
Sard, you work in IT too. Have you seen anything from this?
Not a goddamn thing.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for the Electronic Freedom Foundation to give us a summary of the 400 pages of legalese.
They may not, just because, you know, they're so happy it got passed, they may not scrutinize it. But the thing is, if Comcast had bought Time Warner, prices probably would have gone up, but other than that, approximately jack would have changed, because cable companies are all region locked. They all have deals with local cities and counties, so there already is no competition among these guys. That's why I was talking about, you know, the fact that the bill I ended up getting was not what they told me when I signed up for it, and there's no alternative. You don't get a choice. There was an alternative, and that was, you know, way worse. Go through my cell phone. Like, so, you know, I can pay a little bit more than what I was paying a month, which is about what I was paying before I moved anyways. Okay, fine. Or I can pay three times as much and have really crappy internet. I mean, it's just, there is no competition in ISPs. So this change is approximately nil. It's not like Time Warner and Comcast were actively competing against each other in the same markets.
You just had one giant company then.
It might as well be. The only difference here is it would have had the same name.
Yep.
Right.
Still the same treatment. You're getting raped.
Well, there's no competition. So yeah. There's no reason to treat with your customers with anything beyond... I mean, this is the same company that we, you know, a couple of months ago we're talking about how they were changing people's names in their systems to shithead and whore and stuff.
Classy company, man.
Yeah, they don't get
classy
it.
Company with classy people working up the top. I mean, the poor people down the bottom, they just have to eat the shit that flows from the top.
The only time anything ever gets done with that company is when it gets in the news, and then they'll make it right just for the press. But I mean, it's rough trying to deal with them.
I love how Comcast rolled out their. They announced this was maybe a couple years ago, and they said they had the most. They had the most Wi-Fi points, open Wi-Fi points of any provider. Shortly before that had happened, they had sent a notice to customers using Comcast hardware saying, we've just enabled a new feature that allows your friends and family to get on the internet when they come visit you. And
Yeah. Oh, I put a second router on my internet access.
I don't have any of their hardware. I bought my own, actually. But yeah, that was friggin' amazing. I was like, wow, they really just did that. And they send the notes. They're like, yeah, you go get on Xfinity Wi-Fi is the new access point. Your friends and family can get on the internet at your house for free. It's great. And that was the same thing they were announcing to people was the public Wi-Fi spots. Look for Xfinity Wi-Fi. Awesome.
Yeah. Now, they at least they do a decent job of keeping their usage separate from your usage, because, you know, now they're doing metered usage, just like Canada. Yay.
Yeah.
And the rest of the world, I guess. But,
deal with it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I haven't seen that yet, but, I mean, yeah, I threw a second router right behind mine, because it's like, oh, fuck, no. I do enough crazy stuff as it is. I don't need some random person on the street getting on my... Although, you know... I did have an interesting thought about this. A lot of people, when they see that Comcast portal, right, or an AT&T portal or whatever, they'll just log into it without really doing any checks. So what's to stop me from, say, grabbing, I don't know, a Raspberry Pi and a halfway decent Wi-Fi card and setting up an access point that says Xfinity open access or free, whatever the SSID's actual name is, and cloning the login page from the actual guest access and just, you know, collecting passwords.
Sure.
Absolutely nothing. The same thing that stops you and I from stealing money out of banks and other people's personal accounts.
Well, that'll stop you personally, but
yeah,
that's not going to stop someone else.
Boredom? Yeah, is that the answer? Apathy. I think it was apathy was the answer we were looking for.
Speaking of open access, Morph, just quickly off topic for a second.
Sure.
The amount of USB available plugins on buses and places around now.
Oh, you saw that story about the plane, huh?
I just noticed more and more around my city places to connect or to recharge that are all USB.
I would not plug my phone into one of those rechargers.
No. Not at fucking all.
So I'm just thinking, man, what do you think on those?
Those scare me.
Yeah, as we become so much more tech-friendly and savvy within our modern environments.
If I wanted to be a dick, I'd go rig up a USB cord, 120 volts AC. Hide the block behind the couch and say, here's your free charger. See how many people blew up their phones.
Oh, it sounds like a plan for the meetup.
Now, if you wanted to be less of a dick but still a horrible person, you could hook, instead of hooking these things up into just one of those little charger blocks, you run it to a computer so that when they plug it in, it dumps the contents of their phone. So, I mean,
to stop these public access places from doing that?
The same thing that stops me from setting up my Raspberry Pi with a Wi-Fi card and naming it the Comcast free Wi-Fi and collecting everyone's logins.
Go ahead, Anthony. Sorry.
I was going to say, just as curiosity, while we were talking, I ran a site scan to see what I picked up. I've got 3 Xfinity Wi-Fi open wireless networks in my area. Pretty decent strength, too. It almost makes me wonder what I'm paying for internet for, but... honestly, looking at this, like, they're pretty.
Well,
like,
those free
one
ones, you still need a login, don't you?
So do I need? Well, if it says open, well, I mean, that's just the one I'm using. They're unlocked. They're open according to this. The wireless security is open system on those 3. So that means get to it. But you're saying might be true that I might need a login.
You get that captive page, like you get at a hotel or a coffee shop.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Whatever.
So like just you
go
said,
down to, go down to wherever it is and ask for their login.
There you go. They're all set.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was trying to access your open Wi-Fi. Can you give me the password, though? Yeah.
Well, hell, a lot of routers have just set up a guest network alongside. I had to go turn that shit off on the one put in behind the Comcast one.
Yeah,
so
it will do that sometimes.
Yeah. So,
and it will be unlocked, so your friends can easily get online.
I'll tell you what I'm going to be doing. I loaned it to a guy at work, actually, because his internet situation is way worse than mine. I can at least get internet, but where his house is, the D-Slam is full, and they won't run cable out there, so he's really screwed. And he does networking for a living, so I don't know how he's standing it. But so I loaned him my high-powered Wi-Fi card, and he's seeing what he can do with it. But I think I've got this idea. I'm going to be moving at the end of next month, so actually it's important to bring up because the station might get a little wonky in the middle of moving. Just like miss shows or the broadcast box might be down, shit like that. But the funny part about that is I'm going to be in an area that I think it's going to be worth doing this. I'm going to see if I can set up like a Raspberry or a netbook or just some small computer up in the attic of the townhouse I'm going to be renting. And the reason I'm specifically thinking Raspberry is it has headers on it that you can hook up to, say, a stepper motor. So I want to see if I can make a Wi-Fi antenna that I can rotate without having to actually go up there and turn it.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So I can, you know, audit
PWM
the wireless
output and you'd be set.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, make a little rotating rig to put up in the attic, so I'm not even going to get in trouble for doing that, because I think you actually have to have a license to have some kind of a auto-rotating antenna.
Really?
Yeah. I actually picked up one of those little Chinese VHF-UHF radios, and I was going to look into doing some ham stuff with it, or at least a police scanner, but I haven't really done anything with it, but I think I remembered reading somewhere about having a rotating antenna, an automated rotating antenna. You needed some kind of a license for it.
Just for receiving, even? I don't think it would matter
no,
if you're
I
receiving.
Think it's for transmit.
You mean broadcast? Okay.
And you could argue if you're manually rotating it and, you know, running a script or something, rotate 5 degrees to the right. That's not automated.
No, but when I write my script to have the thing just rotate, know where it is, and collect Wi-Fi access points, you might argue. But that it doesn't matter. It's going to be hidden. But, you know, so you can do wireless audits of the area and just see what all's around. You know, go get some retardedly crazy antenna and put the thing on a motor. And so I'll have to document that somewhere if I actually end up building it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So, anyways, where were we? Were we done with the Comcast thing? Anybody else have anything they wanted to add to that?
I don't think so.
All right.
I'm good.
First story up, Psychro sent it to me. It's from Ars Technica. A federal judge issued a stern rebuke Friday to the Federal Bureau of Investigation's method for breaking up an illegal online betting ring. The Las Vegas court frowned on the FBI's ruse of disconnecting internet access to $25,000 per night villas at Caesars Palace Hotel and Casino. The FBI agents posed as the cable guy and then searched the premises when they were let in. The government claimed the search was legal because the suspects invited the agents into the room to fix the internet.
Oh.
U.S. District Court Judge Andrew P. Gordon wasn't buying it. He ruled that if the government could get away with such tactics like those, they could be used, or like those they could be used to nab gambling kingpin Paul Pua and some of his associates, then the government would have carte blanche power to search just about any property. Permitting the government to create the need for the occupant to invite a third party into his or her home would effectively allow the government to conduct warrantless searches of the vast majority of residents and hotel rooms in America, Gordon wrote in throwing out evidence the agents collected. Authorities would need only to disrupt a phone, internet, cable, or other non-essential service, then poses those technicians to gain warrantless entry to the vast majority of homes, hotel rooms, and similarly protected premises across America. The government had urged the court to uphold the search, arguing that it employs ruses every day in its undercover operations. Yes, please, we want to be able to continue to lie. The government noted that U.S. judges have previously upheld government ruses to gain access into dwellings. In 1966, the Supreme Court authorized an agent to pose as a drug buyer to get consent to go into a house. In 1980, a agent posed as a drug dealer chauffeur was upheld. Really? That's a hell of a ruse. 7 years later, agents posed as real estate investors to access a bedroom and closet of a suspect, and in 1989, an agent posed as UPS delivery man to get inside a drug house. I cut the story off there. They kind of go back and forth with different examples where the government has claimed to be water and gas heaters, and that was their water or gas inspectors, and that was thrown out because they were creating this artificial situation that was like you have to let us in to inspect the gas line or your house could explode. A bunch of other stupid shit like that. But I think this is, it's just kind of funny that they disconnected the internet then pretended to be the cable guy to get inside. That's
well, my first thought was they're just butthurt because they got caught about it. I mean, even just, you know, okay, obviously they have some pre-documented times of this legally happening before, but what makes you think that they don't do this kind of shit all the time? They just got caught this time.
Well, the thing I wonder is, if they were so sure what was going on in there, why couldn't they just get a warrant to go in there?
I don't understand the resistance to getting warrants. I agree with you. I mean, if there's a reason to go. Yeah, I know, but so what? I mean, do what you got to do. That's what the law's there for. You go get a freaking warrant.
They can get a warrant in a couple hours. They can get a warrant in less than an hour if they want to. I mean, how many times do you see them, you know, pull somebody over on the side of the road and they say, I'm not going to let you search my car unless you get a warrant, and they get the fucking warrant. Yeah, usually they're just doing it because the guy's being a dick, but
I never understood that, really. Like, it's just, I don't know if it's just the power thing or they wanted the authority. I mean, you know, the whole warrantless wiretapping thing that went back years and years ago when they were like, nah, you know, it takes too long to get the warrant. We might miss critical info. I mean, come on. You make a phone call. You can fast track that. Like, they just don't want to. They don't want to have to go to someone else and say, you know, give us
permission. Yeah,
they don't want
to justify what they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm confused at, you know, if you're that certain what's going on. I mean, hell, I guess it goes back to what was the guy in Chicago they nailed on tax evasion? I should know this. I'm having a brain fart. I can't think of the mobster's name.
1920s.
Yeah.
Al Capone. They got him on tax evasion.
Thank you. Yeah, they couldn't get him on anything else that everybody knew he was guilty of, so they went to the frickin' tax code, because nobody understands that shit. But, I don't know, that's just messed up how much, you know, how far they'll go instead of just going through the proper channels. I mean, I guess I'm confused on that.
Maybe in their defense, it's more fun to do it this way. Let's look at
okay,
that one.
I will concede that.
I don't see them as so, like, when I hear stories like this, I don't see them as, like, you know, high-level, sinister people making that decision. It's just like a bunch of guys like, hey, I got this idea, ready? Why don't we cut the internet, and then we can be the repairman? What do you think? And they're like, all right, go with it.
Love yeah. One. All right, next one up is from Infoworld.com. The software that runs your car's computer still belongs to the manufacturer, and under the DMCA, Digital Millennium Copyright Act, attempting to repair or modify your car in any way, say to make it faster, more fuel efficient, or even taking it to your neighborhood mechanic instead of a manufacturer-approved dealer, could land you in trouble. Car manufacturers have not used DMCA to prosecute anyone yet, but they have been putting more and more protective measures in place to lock down control over the cars they build. Farmers know all about this new reality. Manufacturers like John Deere use DMCA to maintain tight control over the diagnostic tools needed to repair modern tractors. Farmers previously accustomed to DIY repairs now face a costly and time-consuming nightmare that it requires flying in manufacturers' approved technicians to repair the tractor's very proprietary computer systems. Farmers are essentially driving around a giant black box outfitted with harvesting blades. Only manufacturers have the keys to the boxes. The dealer repair game is too lucrative for manufacturers to cede any control back to farmers, Wired writes. There is a process for reclaiming control of your hardware. Every 3 years, the Copyright Office of the Library of Congress considers exemptions to Section 2101 or 1201 of DMCA, which by default makes it illegal to bypass the encryption on any hardware. This year, the EFF applied for exemptions to allow for vehicle repairs as well as phone jailbreaking, Internet of Things unlocking, security research, medical device research, electronic distribution of literary work by libraries, and a slew of other activities that run afoul of DMCA in a software-driven world unimagined in 1998 when the DMCA was enacted. Consumers are probably most familiar with the battle to determine ownership of phones. Unlocking phones they made unlocking phones not subject to DMCA violation, and then they did not renew the exemption in 2012. So now it's supposedly illegal to jailbreak your phone again or unlock your phone. So,
oh, I hadn't even heard that.
Yeah, a lot of people had. Usually a carrier will do it anyways just to avoid the bad press, but you have to go through them to do it. You can't, you know, get some tool on the internet to do it or figure out how to do it yourself. Now, it is important to point out this was a bit of a fear bait article, but I figured RU and Anthony and Sard, I figured all of you guys would have some fun with the whole car aspect of this. Them being locked down so that only approved manufacturers can repair your car.
Been doing that for ages, man.
Oh, I know.
Those things are harder and harder now. You're just not going to be able to rip that stuff out. It's all integrated. That's the whole the navigation, computer systems, radio, all that kind of stuff. It's just integrated with the car. There's nothing there to swap out, nothing there to rip out.
Yeah.
You just find the plug.
Well, yeah, but now they're saying they could use the DMCA to go after you if you figure out how to do it anyways.
Well, newer cars, I'm not even sure if you can. I mean, if you shut, you pull the fuse on that thing, I don't even think it's going to run.
I need to try that now.
If you
pull the fuse on your engine management system, it ain't going to run.
No,
but it's the entertainment what I'm saying, system. It's all integrated. How do you pull the plug on it?
Easy. On mine, it's a separate fuse. The entertainment system is separate from the, you know, the GPS and the music or the touchscreen is separate. But because I've had it crash on me a couple of times and the car kept running fine. But I don't know. I mean, I could actually see them legally going after car hackers now. And it's just like, it's crazy.
Well, the ports generally under the passenger side front is where you plug your laptop into.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to make a jack for that, and then to plug into your laptop, unless it's a factory laptop, like you've managed to get one from Ford or, you know, one from Holden or whatever. And then you can do whatever you want with it. As long as you know the numbers and what you're reading, and don't start deleting shit. But you can play with engine management systems all you like. And then just go back to the restore button. Like the days of sitting there tuning a car with a timing light are over and done, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you think these guys are working on your car all day at the dealership, bullshit. They're plugging a laptop in, resetting the engine management system once the new plugs and leads have gone in, and then just checking to see if it runs fine. That's it.
You have to keep the car the same amount of time. Kind of makes you wonder what the hell they're doing with it back there now.
It's called an illusion. That way they can charge you $375 for your fucking your tune-up. Like, you look at most mechanics today, dude. They are not dirty as fuck. You know?
Yeah.
The dealers, the dealer mechanics, you're absolutely right. They're not dealing with a lot of the same things. The secondhand guys, still...
They're
still getting a lot of the same issues coming in on cars that are they're a little older when they start coming in, but yeah. But I mean, I guess the article is just talking more about would they ever, and I guess that was kind of the fear part of the article because it hasn't actually happened, but they're speculating on would they ever. So someone does, like, are you saying, plugs in their laptop and is start to tweak the stuff to their liking? Are they going to get hit with a DMCA?
I don't know how you get hit with the DMCA on that one if you're just going in and changing the timing numbers or whatever, because you're not really changing their software, you're just using it.
Right, but where they're going to nail you is if you get into a car wreck and you're claiming on your insurance, and then they go, you know, insurance claim. Yeah. They go and look at the computer and be like, "Oh, these aren't factory set default settings.
Yeah,
denied."
That could be. Ooh.
That's a good point.
That's an interesting point, though. You bring up the insurance angle on it because, okay, just as for fun here, I've been playing Elite Dangerous, right? And in Elite, when you're doing something illegal, your ship's computer records it pretty much, to the point that you get the little flag on your screen. You're carrying illegal cargo. It's like, fuck.
And then your insurance claim is denied.
But that's the thing, though. So the cops don't like follow people around and do investigations. So the cops in the game just come up and scan your ship's computer to see if you've done anything wrong, and then attack you or not. So I'm just wondering, are cars going to get to that point where the cops aren't even going to bother doing traffic checks? They're just going to walk up, scan the computer, connect to it wirelessly, or either behind you, whatever. And
yeah, wasn't that part of the?
It already
you know
happens.
Those
black boxes.
The black box is like for your cheaper insurance or whatever that you plug into the computers and they talk to upload data via cell phone or whatever. So, you only drive a car 5,000 miles a year or whatever, you get a reduced insurance rate or something like that. But that's always been the argument with those is, okay, so you do that on your daily driver or whatever. What's to prevent that thing from saying, oh, this was this guy's GPS locations and he was going 90 in a 65.
Your
and then you just get it.
It does that for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, then you just get a ticket in the mail, but...
That's how the system works here now.
Yeah.
We don't have, you don't need to show number... the only thing you need to have now is a valid number plate, that is it. As you drive past the ring of steel or any cameras with the verification, it does a facial scan of the driver, matches it with the driver's license if you have one, and the number plate of the car, and then checks whether you have insurance. Or you're wanted for any crimes. All this is done over 10 hundredths of a second as the cop drives past you. It's fucking crazy, man. We have these integrated systems all around the country now to the point where they're looking to put in point-to-point timing systems where, I guess, if your car is had a photo taken at this traffic light, but you arrive at another traffic light within a set time, that means you've broken the speed limit, you're getting a ticket.
I'm going to add a link to the show notes here, just because I think it's worth adding. I threw it in the chat there as well. What do you think would happen if you had one of those?
I've actually been playing around with a few devices like this. I wouldn't use one. I think the novelty and the idea is great, but you need to have two valid license plates. You know what I mean?
Because I just threw a chat in there for the listeners here. I just threw in a link to licenseplateflipper.com, and they've got a great YouTube video where
funny.
You do need two valid license plates, but you see the video. It just flips between. There's a California plate. There's a Texas plate. It's just great. It's like, so you
I'm
need
pretty
that.
Sure disappearing off the grid in between point-to-point car checks is going to be sus.
So you need that. You need to get silkscreened onto your car windows, somebody else's face. So, there was a comedy bit. It's a GIF you see floating around all the time where you got two black guys in the car and they see the cop coming up, so they roll up the windows and it's got an elderly white couple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. Well,
that or you need the cyberpunk anti-facial recognition face paint so you get shot going down the road for people thinking you're on bath salts.
Back to RU's comment, though. If they're doing that everywhere in Australia, you know, the facial recognition and checking and all that. Do they have any stats to back that up? Because I would think that you would have zero warrants out for people. Because all those people, unless they're walking everywhere, taking public transportation, they're going to hit a stoplight. They're going to be recorded.
Facial recognition's on public transport already.
Okay, so do you have, like, no wanted people then? Because I don't see how you can move around any town in Australia if they all have that system.
It's Australia. They don't. They do the Crocodile Dundee thing and go out in the bush.
Yeah. Like, if you don't want to live with it, man, you can go live out in the bush and those small towns out there where there are no services. But as our dutiful Prime Minister said, that is a lifestyle choice, living out there. Don't expect law and order.
That's just weird.
Yeah. So if you live outside a capital city in Australia, it's a lifestyle choice, like you're so homosexual or something.
Right.
And you don't have any expectation of any government services when you make those sort of lifestyle choices.
No, Sard. Yes, that's right. Batman Sard is going to go there and clean up the outback. All those criminals.
The Abos, Batman Sard. Start okay. With the Abos. I guarantee you give up within the first 30 seconds.
No, if you're not seduced by their women first. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You're an inspiration for birth control.
And their beauty is spoken about worldwide.
Oh, it is legendary. It is legendary the world over. Oh, it's so interesting though. There's no place, because over here there's no place where like the president would say, "Yeah, you're on your own over there." But that's so interesting.
That is not true.
Where
there are sections of Texas down by the Mexican border, there are signs. Actually, there are in Arizona too. There are signs saying the government has very little jurisdiction from beyond this point, even though you're still technically in the states.
On your own beyond this point.
I don't think that's what it says. I think it just says it's just like a warning sign. Warning, cognitive dissonance ahead.
If you live there, you don't have to pay taxes, right?
I hope. Nah. I would hope. Next story up is from The Guardian. A new revealed bug in iOS lets attackers force iPhones and iPads into reset loops, repeatedly crashing and rebooting using nothing but a Wi-Fi network. Once a user has entered what it discovers, security researchers SkyCure dubs the no iOS zone. There is no way to fix their phone other than escaping the range of the malicious network. Every time it reboots, it crashes almost instantly. The basis of the attack uses a specially crafted SSL certificate, typically used to ensure a secure connection, to trigger a bug in the operating system that crashes out any app using SSL. With our finding, we rushed to create a script that exploits the bug over a network interface, the researcher wrote. As SSL is a security best practice and is utilized in almost all apps in the Apple App Store, the attack surface is very wide. We knew that any delay in patching the vulnerability could lead to a serious business impact, and organized denial-of-service attack can lead to big losses. In addition to crashing individual apps, the app bug can be used to crash the underlying operating system as well. With heavy use of devices exposed to the vulnerability, the operating system crashes as well. Even worse, under certain conditions, we can get the device into a repeatable reboot cycle, rendering them useless.
I love this bug.
Even if the victims understand the attack comes from a Wi-Fi network, they can't disable the Wi-Fi interface in the repeated restart state, as shown in the video, because it crashes before they can get in to turn it off. they're taking advantage of enterprise level authentication, the shared where you know, like MS or like MS Chap 2, I believe, is the program. I'd have to go read it again. Anyways, but enterprise networks where you usually have to enter a username and password, they'll have a certificate that they'll pass to do.
It's more than that.
Yeah, it is.
That's how they're exploiting the bug. But what they didn't say in that article also is every iOS operating system is hard coded to auto join a certain SSID. I forget which one it is, but that's where the big problem lies with this. Is they hard coded. I think it might have even been as simple as like any SSID that's called public, iOS will automatically try to authenticate to it.
And I you will think I'm crazy bug. For turning my Wi-Fi off all the time on my damn phone.
That's the only way around it, but I think it's hilarious, man. Like no iOS zones.
That's fucking hilarious. You have to get out of the range of the Wi-Fi to even get to get the setting turned off because it crashes before you can even get in there to turn it off. I love it.
Yeah. Like I said, I read that and I was laughing my ass off at work, dude. I was like, I love this book. That's hilarious. Fucking retarded.
I kind of
want to
get the proof of concept code and have some fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah, you totally could.
So, but, I mean, that's a bad bug. It's like, come on, Apple. Seriously? You're on what version of the phone now? I mean, seriously?
Why? They put out like 3 a year now?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, well, a huge vulnerability. How can they not have picked this up? Like, let's automatically connect to a SSID in public, no matter what the fuck
Apple.
It is.
It's Apple. They don't give a fuck. That's the thing. Yeah. It's, oh no, people will buy our elitist shit. And actually, as somebody who has iPhones and iPads, I probably should be careful making that statement. But, anyways. All right, next one up is from Ars Technica. If you want to get encrypted or get access to encrypted data on a drug dealer's digital device, you might try to break the crypto, or you might just try to break the man. According to the testimony from a police corruption trial currently roiling in the city of Philadelphia, officers from an undercover drug squad took the latter route back in November of 2007. After arresting their suspect, Michael Cascoli, in the hallway of his 18th floor apartment, officers took Cascoli back inside. Although they lacked a search warrant, the cops searched Cascoli's rooms anyways. According to federal indictment, the officers repeatedly assaulted and threatened Cascoli during the search to obtain information about the location of money, drugs, and drug supplies. Cascoli kept $800 in cash on his nightstand, which he told the cops about. The cops allegedly took the money from Cascoli's nightstand and used it to purchase pizza for themselves. That's a shit ton of pizza. Cascoli, who gave an interview last October to the Philadelphia Daily News, said the cops wanted much more cash. The trial largely focused on allegations that members of the squad shook down drug suspects for money and valuables. "I'm going to fucking break your face if you don't tell us where the fucking money is," Cascoli recalled one officer saying. To be fair, Ars Technica doesn't say fucking. They have F dash dash dash. But we all know what that is. It's
furry.
Yeah, I'm going to yiffing break your face. That didn't work. I'm going to free birding break. No, I can't think of another F word that really works there.
Angle.
Yeah, I don't know. Another allegedly urinating on some of his possessions. The government claims that the government claims that the officers also roughed up Cascoli, punching him in the stomach. After a few hours of this, which involved an attempt to lure one of Cascoli's suppliers into the building, the officers focused on Cascoli's Palm Pilot. Remember, it was 2007, so it's not as odd that he still had one, which they correctly believed contained information they wanted, but Cascoli wouldn't provide the password. He claims the police then tried to extract the password through intimidation. I accidentally cut it off a little bit. I think I'm missing the last paragraph I wanted. Basically, they hung the guy out his window Batman style trying to get the password for this Palm Pilot.
Wow. That is pretty intense, man.
Was this in Ferguson?
Philadelphia.
Oh, close enough.
Yeah, you don't sell drugs in Philly.
Yeah. So what was the cop's backup plan if he said, "Fuck you, I'm not going to give you the password"? Were they going to drop him? What was that?
No, they're just going to keep beating the shit out of him.
I got to give him credit.
Point, I don't know.
Dude, you got to give the guy credit. Like, you've got cops in your apartment screaming at you, pissing on your stuff, hanging you out the window, and you didn't give it up? That's my drug
deal. Article. I'm going to go see if he scrolled down a little bit.
If he didn't give it up.
Well, because they eventually got to the point that they knew that he had information in this Palm Pilot. According to Cascoli, do whatever they had to do to get the password. Out on the balcony, Cascoli says officers lifted him up by each arm and leaned him over the balcony. Yeah, so they held him over the railing, Batman style. Palm Pilot, he said, contained records on his $4,000 stash, which he had split for safekeeping between home of his brother and home of a friend. Talking about on the balcony, he truly feared for his life. My feet were off the ground. I thought they were going to drop me. He said he then gave up the password. Yeah, I don't blame him.
Did he end up going to jail?
Well, that's what he's in trial for right now. I'm sure he's been in jail this entire time.
And I want to follow this story because this guy didn't go to jail, man. And like this guy should not go to jail. If anything, the arresting officers should be up on charges.
Yeah, I would think he could get a lot of this dismissed based on the tactics they used.
Well, I think that's the point of this trial that he's in now, is to try to do that.
So he's filing the claim against them now?
Somebody sponsoring him, I think.
Okay, yeah.
But holy shit, I mean, yeah, truthfully, if I had the cops holding me outside of the 18-story window, Batman style, I'd probably give up the passwords too.
I'd like to think you wouldn't.
Just to see if they drop you or not.
No, they're not going to, but if you would, I was going to say, I think we have something to do next meetup. It'll be fun. We'll take over the station. It'll be sweet.
Well, you got to think at some point, is it really worth dying over? I mean, really?
Well, that's the thing. He didn't know for sure. I mean, it's easy to sit here and say, yeah, they never would have dropped him, obviously, right? They were just intimidating him. But at the time, when you're there, they're probably saying, yeah,
they're roughing you up. They're beating the shit out of you. They're pissing over your stuff. They're stealing your money and ordering pizza. I mean,
the toppings you hate. Yeah, totally. Messes you up.
Goddamn bell peppers. I hate bell peppers.
Yeah, no, I mean, like,
olives?
It's kind of.
You got like fucking olives on the pizza?
Fine, I'll give you the fucking password, damn it. I'm not eating
you monsters.
$800 worth of cheese pizza.
Yeah.
You're going to eat the pineapple and ham pizza, aren't you?
What kind of sick monster are you?
I actually like pineapple and ham pizza. It's good.
I don't like pineapple.
No, the worst
I've got an
salad
allergy
pizza.
To pineapple.
I think they just ordered him a salad pizza, and he was like, oh, what the fuck?
Spanish pizzas.
That's like, they're like, no, you don't order a fucking salad pizza. You have my password. Just fucking get a...
The vegetarian, gluten-free version of pizza.
Yeah, they didn't have to hang him out the window if they did that.
Yeah, with a Diet Mountain Dew.
Diet Mountain Dew.
Oh.
Man, are you just going for broke there?
Yeah, that is terrible.
Well, at least they didn't get him any purple drink.
Well, he was a drug dealer. You never know. That's why he got pissed off at. Not getting purple drink.
The purple stuff. All right. Next one up is from Digital Munition. The administrator of the popular darknet email server Signals Anti-Intelligence is what they're trying to put there, but that A in there makes it hard to say, is warning its users that the email service has become the target of a suspected law enforcement agency who tries to compromise it. About a week ago, SIGINT has been targeted by an attacker who tried to hack the service by using nearly 70 bad Tor exit nodes. One of the server's administrators informed users via the TorTalk mailing list on Thursday. SIGINT uses Tor anonymization network, which means an email is sent from one user to any destination. The email is routed through multiple relays and nodes that aren't actually aware of the sender's identity. The last machine that provides the email, known as a Tor exit relay or Tor exit node. The end user who receives that email can see the IP address of the exit node instead of the IP address of the original sender. And this is how SIGINT allows you to send and receive emails without revealing your actual identity or location. Through the exit relays are the last hop on the Tor network. They are the only IP address to appear as the origin of the connection. Excuse me, and they pull the attention of the government law enforcement agencies. SIGINT is an email service that resides mostly in Tor and SIGINT email service may be one of those Tor anonymizing services to become a recent target of a suspected intelligence service attack. One of the administrators of the service announced on Thursday that SIGINT became target of a cyber attack. Initially, it was believed that someone tried to hack the service using 58 malicious Tor exit nodes. However, Philip Winter, who is the member of the Tor project, discovered 12 more bad exit nodes, resulting in a total of 70. So apparently we have drawn the attention to our humble little email service that mostly lives inside of the Tor network, the admin wrote on a mailing list post. The attacker has been trying various exploits against our infrastructure for the past few months. And, you know, I'm going to skip the rest of the story here. I don't know where they got that they're certain it was a government agency. They just assume it is. They don't have any evidence of that. But, yeah, so I don't know if anybody else is even familiar with SIGINT. It's an interesting email service, but it always kind of screamed target on it, so...
It kind of sounds familiar, but it reminded me of that one email service that the government wanted the keys to, and the guy said no and rather shut down the service rather than give out the keys to it. Is it similar
well,
to that?
No.
I forget what that one was called too, but
yeah, I know the one you're talking about, which supposedly Snowden was using or something like that.
Right.
No, it's a similar idea in that it's anonymous email, but it's implemented through Tor as opposed to its own crypto.
Okay.
But yeah, they're pretty much assuming the government's trying to hack them.
Huh.
So.
You know, speaking of Snowden, man, have you heard the latest claims?
The government can see my dick. That's fine.
No,
if they really need to look.
That's a good one. Chinese media.
It is glorious, isn't it?
Chinese media are claiming that the CIA tried to assassinate him and that Chinese special forces saved him while he was visiting China.
Really?
Why?
Dude, it's a complete bullshit story.
Wait. Snowden was in China?
That's it. It's a bullshit story. The Chinese media are just making it up.
I was gonna say I thought he never left Russia. Now
he can't leave Russia. It's just a complete bullshit story. I just thought it was amusing.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that.
That's some North Korea level bullshit right there.
Yeah.
It's like, why would they? All that would do would be to validate him and make a martyr out of the guy. They know better than that.
China was just using it as well. Look, Snowden's over here helping us. You know, embarrass.
I guess. It's kind of more embarrassing when it's an easily caught lie, though, isn't it?
I know, it's hilarious, but what are you going to do? It's fun.
Let's see. Next story up is from Torrent Freak and is hilarious. The blockade of the Pirate Bay by UK ISPs is causing trouble for Cloudflare customers. Several websites have been inadvertently blocked by Sky because a Pirate Bay proxy is hosted behind the same IP address. In a response, Cloudflare threatened to disconnect the proxy site from its network. Like any form of censorship, web blockades can sometimes lead to overblocking, targeting perfectly legitimate websites by mistake. This is also happening in the UK, where Sky's blocking technology is inadvertently blocking sites that have nothing to do with piracy. In addition to blocking domain names, Sky also blocks IP addresses. These allow the sites to stop HTTPS communications to the Pirate Bay and its proxies. When the IP addresses are shared with random other sites, they're blocked too. This is happening to various customers in the CDN service of Cloudflare, which is used by many sites on the UK block list. Every now and then, this causes legitimate sites to be blocked, such as Cloudflare customers who shared an IP address with the Pirate Bay proxy, ilikerainbows.co.uk. Really? Your URL was I like rainbows?
Brilliant.
I wouldn't have guessed it. Although the domain is really a redirect to ilikerainbows.co, it's listed in Sky's blocking system along with several Cloudflare IP addresses. Recently, the CDN service received complaints from users about the issues and alerted the proxy owner. It has come to our attention that your website, ilikerainbows.co.uk, is causing Cloudflare's IPs to be blocked by SkyB, an ISP located in the UK. This is impacting other Cloudflare customers, Cloudflare wrote. The CDN service asked the proxy site to resolve the matter with Sky, or else it would remove the site from its network after 24 hours. If the issue does not get resolved with SkyB, though, we will need to route your domain off of Cloudflare's network, as it is currently impacting other Cloudflare customers due to these blocked IP addresses. So, oops. Gotta love the unintended consequences of having those large servers all on the same IPs, right?
It was bound to happen.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely bound to happen. Of course, I kind of thought it was dodgy that Pirate Bay was using Cloudflare in the first place.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You weren't on for that show. I, kind of have a theory that Cloudflare is a front.
and point and simple front, all of Cloudflare.
Think about it. They offer a free CDN up to a certain level for any website that wants to use it, right?
Okay.
If you were a alphabet soup government agency and you wanted to have access to everything going on the internet, you would want the access between the server and the clients, right?
Okay, yeah.
So if you're piping your domain through Cloudflare and somebody at Cloudflare is logging all of that, they're going to have the entire communication string from the server side, encrypted or not, because that's, you know, HTTPS goes endpoint to endpoint. So you'll have the whole thing captured right there on the server.
Good point. Okay.
Because the server is playing man in the middle between the actual web server and the end users.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have zero evidence of this. I'm just simply looking at what they do and going, huh, how are they giving all that shit away? I think they might be getting some help.
Well, is there any profit motive for them to do this at all? Is there anything that they sell?
The government, it would be providing them funds, I assume, to run the service.
Cloudflare don't seem to sell anything.
Oh, they do. They sell things, but they mainly have contracts with big name websites.
Yeah.
But this free service has got to be expensive as balls to run.
Yeah, because it's pure bandwidth.
And yep. No company is going to just give that kind of shit away. Because how, other than charging directly for it, what do you do to monetize bandwidth if you're not, you know, if it's a free account, how do you monetize the bandwidth?
That's why I was asking what they sold. Just that I don't know.
Yeah.
If there was a profit motive.
They sell higher tier. They sell higher tier access to their, you know, service, and Cloudflare. Yeah. I guess for you guys who aren't completely familiar with it. Cloudflare is what's called a content distribution network. The idea being that I want my website to be fast no matter where you are in the world. So instead of hosting it directly, I would host it through Cloudflare, and then Cloudflare would distribute it to their CDN network because they have those geo-homed IP addresses. So, you know, the IP address to the Cloudflare CDN on my local ISP points to, you know, a box hosted near my ISP, whereas the same IP address on your ISP, because you're, you know, across the country, sorry to pick on somebody just because I happen to know where you are, or are you an even better example since he's, have, you know, across the globe. Same IP address, but it's going to actually point to a different server. Make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they just mirror it to local servers and then route the local IPs to, you know, a close mirror. Mm-hmm. This also has a nice side effect of being an excellent way of mitigating DDoS attacks because it spreads them out. And Cloudflare can throw more bandwidth at DDoS attacks because that's all you can really do to handle DDoS attacks. But They provide this free service if you just go sign up and then pipe your website through it. Here you go. And up to a certain amount of, I think it's a certain amount of bandwidth usage, it's just free.
Hmm.
So it's like they've got to be monetizing that somehow, and I assume somebody's paying them for it.
Yeah, they don't inject ads or anything like that into the website?
Not
or
that I'm aware.
Hmm.
So if you have additional bandwidth, they'll charge you?
I think if you go to a certain point of usage, it goes into a cost. I suppose we could look it up real quick. Not like we're not sitting here on the internet.
No,
I don't use the internet.
Yeah, me either.
There's
it's too scary.
Viruses and porn on the internet.
Scary
can't
shit.
Can't go there.
Yeah, thanks. Here we go. Cloudflare.
I read a mean comment once. I turn off the internet. That was a.
Okay, no, I'm wrong. They're saying it's not bandwidth. It's features. So the free one gives you free SSL, statistics, broad security perfection and fast performance. Then their pro offering is $5 a month or $20 a month for the first website, then $5 for each website after that per month. Faster performance, mobile optimizations, web application firewalling, virtually real-time statistics and insights into what's happening on your site. Business is all that, plus advanced denial of service attack mitigation, Railgun web optimization, whatever the hell that is, and then 100% upside guarantee, and that's $200 a month. And then they've got Enterprise, which basically says, call us for a quote.
Huh.
So
they could be making a good deal of money. We don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, your theory's valid and sound. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the DDoS protection doesn't really kick in until you get into their $200 a month plan, but I mean, the free one, I gotta wonder, how the hell are they doing it? You know what I mean? Because you gotta pay for that shit somehow. Oh, here we go. I mean, there's a client maximum upload size, too. And the always online stuff is only crawled weekly with the free one, but still.
Yeah. I definitely see what you mean. I mean, it gives you a good opportunity to inject themselves right in the middle of all that web traffic.
Yeah, it's total conspiracy theory. I mean, I've absolutely got no evidence to back it up, and you could easily destroy that with one billing statement, right? But, or, you know, one good financial document. But I just wonder, you know, that kind of a free offering, you've got to be monetizing that somehow.
It just seems too good to be true.
Yeah, because, I mean, the amount of bandwidth that kind of thing has got to use.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, sure, you know, a handful, you know, one little site's not going to use much in the way of bandwidth, but, you know, when you have a free offering like that, how many people sign up to it?
Right.
So, I'm sure every Tumblrina and, you know, small-time blog is signed up to that thing. Pirate Bay is apparently using it. So, anyways, let's go ahead and get into the weird news. Cue the theremin.
Oh, now we're getting to the weird news.
Oh, fuck!
I don't actually have a theremin, but I kind of wish I did. So, Amazon, this is from businessinsider.com. Amazon has a newish product called Home Services, which is a kind of a catch-all for various and sundry things. Television wall mounting, virus and spyware removal, plumbing, so on, and apparently lawn care. Not just any lawn care. They're offering a goat grazing service. I don't know how else to put this. You can rent a goat from Amazon.
What the fuck?
You will receive a recommendation for how many goats will be loaned to you, how long these goats will keep you company, and how often a pro will come in to check on them. And you get to keep any of the goat poop.
Oh, well, that's good. Huh? You wouldn't want to give that up.
Hipsters have gone too far.
But yeah, you could rent a goat from
Amazon.
How many
Apple products do you have to own before you're valid for this service?
I don't know. But I just checked. There are no providers available near me for a goat grazer.
Can I get one?
Got a beta tag on it. Hire a goat grazer beta near you.
I don't know about the beta goats. You have problems with those sometimes. You got to be careful.
Yeah, you know, how many of us have played, you know, Goat Simulator? I mean, the thing might look a railroad cart or something.
Get one of those fainting goats.
Oh, there you go.
Fainting goat.
You sure this isn't leftover from April Fool's?
It sounds like it.
I kind of hope it is.
Yeah.
It sounds like it. I was going to ask you the date of the article, but...
Exactly.
If this takes off, Morps, I'm thinking we wrestle some kangaroos and go opposition.
Oh, there you go.
Who was offering this again?
Amazon.
This is Amazon, okay.
All right. And then finally, the last story I have tonight is, I think it's cyberpunk as hell. It has absolutely nothing to do with the rest of the show. It's from theasiancorrespondent.com. The sacred and smutty are converging at funeral services in rural China. To be fair, if IU was going to do IHN, I was going to hold the story off for IHN, but we're doing it on deck because I want to do it. According to the recent Shanghaiist article, many urban Chinese residents hailing from the northeastern province of Hibiki were shocked to learn upon returning to their hometowns for Spring Festival that strippers were being hired to perform for mourners. This is not the first time such scandalous incidents at Chinese funerals. In 2006, the Shanghaiist reported on similarly scantily clad women at the funeral of a farmer from the Jiangsu province. According to the article, intentions behind such incidents aren't entirely unscrupulous, with one author noting the local people believe that the more people gathered at a funeral, the more luck it will bring to the family and offspring, so some families hire striptease troops to attract more people.
There you go.
It has been added that this practice has commonly been used in Taiwan for years. I know what I'm doing for my funeral. However,
for yours, you'll be dead.
However, the funerals in Jiangsu gained more national attention. Several party officials were reprimanded, and all obscene burial practices were outlawed. There's a phrase. Since then, loved ones of the dearly departed were even required to submit a funeral plan within 12 hours of the death, and a telephone hotline was created for anyone who needed to report funeral misdeeds. So far, no such crackdown appears to have occurred on more recent Hebei funerals, or Hebei. I don't mean to mispronounce that, but I did finish off the whiskey a little while ago.
Don't alienate the audience. You might have some from that province who are tuning in right now.
I have any audience left at this point? Figured it was just Juver and Cycros at this point. So.
Hey, one of them may be Chinese. You never know.
you never know. Juver kind of has that ring. President Xi Jinping... I'm not making that up.
Don't knock the Jinping, man.
Jinping. The guy's name is Xi Jinping. I mean, holy fuck, way too low.
It's never too soon to make a joke about a tragic plane accident where they still haven't found the survivors.
I think I might be a racist. I don't know. Certainly a culturalist, has taken steps to ensure that nothing nearly as controversial can occur at more high-level services. According to a recent South China Morning Post article, the staff at oil giant Sinopec were warned not to host lavish funerals or weddings as part of the Communist Party's crackdown on hedonism after photos of the multimillion yuan wedding of an energy and real estate tycoon went viral on social media. Or even at their most wholesome, many Chinese funerals still have a theatrical flair. An earlier Globe and Mail article detailed the work of funeral criers. So in China, to attract more people to the funerals, the family is hiring strippers.
Not the first thing I would think of, but I guess it'll work.
Their government is going insane.
Interesting. So do they have funerals where like they give away freebies, like where you come and sign the guest book and you get something?
I don't know.
I would think that would be very common. Yeah, you get a bag with
the dead person's image on it.
Swag bag. It's like going to a convention, right?
Yeah. Bull bear babes.
Oh shit. All right. Let's kind of thought we'd have more for the Chinese strippers.
If you're going to have a funeral, you might as well make it degenerate, you know?
Yeah.
There have been some very noteworthy funerals that have been degenerate like that. You know, Gigi Allen's, where they
I was thinking of him before you said it. There you go.
Yeah, they actually took the alcohol out of his casket as they got drunker during the night because they were running out of booze.
Obscene burial practices.
Dude, there's photos of him, women playing with his cock as he's dead in the casket.
I'm surprised they got that close because he was still covered in his own feces at the time, right?
I think they cleaned him up.
Did they actually clean him up?
You kind of hope somebody would at least break out the garden hose. I mean,
yeah. It said Genghis Khan's, death was a great orgy.
What do you think, you going to have strippers at your funeral?
No, at least people know about it, the better. I'm just going to walk out in the desert, blow my brains out, and then play Where's Wally for the next 6 months as the cops go house to house asking questions of each of you where the fuck I am. My one final fuck you to all you bastards. Right? And in my top pocket, I'm just going to write someone's fucking name and say they killed me.
We need to coordinate this a little bit. If you can give us some heads up so we can come up with stories. Because I want to make
I like
sure that,
that
every,
that's funny.
I want to make sure that we have a couple of people corroborating stories about him trying to discover Atlantis or something and just, you know, swimming out into the fucking ocean.
Yeah, go hard, man.
You got to leave a lot of clues. Yeah, I like you said, putting somebody's name and info in your pocket so they're like, what is this?
Yeah. Some encrypted CDs, you know.
Yeah.
Photos of sex toys just to screw with them.
Exactly. A handwritten treasure map.
Yeah, all
like
clues
that.
Clues that lead to the next clue, those kind of things. And then you just set this whole thing up.
It's just going to bounce from one person to the next. Like, so eventually each of you will be held for at least 48 hours without charge while they question you heavily rifle through your homes.
You're still mad about the knock on the door you got after all those Amazon links I sent you.
Yes, I am, sir.
For the record, I'm fairly certain it was the horse head mask that got you in the most trouble.
That would have been the one. It wasn't the plodium. It wasn't the plodium.
Yeah, you know? It was not the components. I did have a list on Amazon of the components necessary to build a nuclear explosive, sent that to him. Nobody gave a shit. Horse head mask and a 55-gallon drum of lube, and are you going to knock at the door? Yeah.
Boom,
strange.
Boom. But yeah, that'll be it, man. I'm just going to walk away. You know, 6 months, they'll find me. And then the game of remembering are you with the cold words of fuck him, that prick. That's how I ended up in prison, Your Honor. I didn't do it. You had to have met this asshole, sir.
Sir, you know, we very rarely use the word fuck with. But
I don't want to describe the dead badly, but what a fuckwit.
And if you ever do shoot yourself, I don't know why more people don't do this, or maybe they do. If you shoot yourself in the back of the head. That'll really get thrown off.
Oh, I'm going to build like an elaborate
wrong
robot. No.
You could pull it off with a handgun. You could shoot yourself in the back of the head.
Make sure you practice a little bit with blanks so you can get two shots off to really screw with them.
Oh,
full auto. Fall down.
It's like if you can shoot yourself 20 times in the back and make sure you fall down an elevator shaft.
Oh, even better.
And make sure you're clutching somebody's name and phone number in your hand.
Definitely.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave a suitcase of counterfeit money, because then we're guaranteed to get the feds involved. A diagram to a small fusion weapon, you know, and the words, you know, L.A. written on it or something like that.
No, we need to make sure that this is going to make the news. You should have a printed copy of the Unabomber's Manifesto in your back pocket.
Oh yes, okay. Ted Leszczynski Bible.
Yeah, you got his thing in the back pocket. You got the map that says something about location of weapon. Just say location of weapon on it, and then it has
and six large cities marked out on a map. You know, and the words "Anthony killed me" written on a piece of paper.
Oh, and a Fight Club DVD.
And a list of known pedophiles.
Oh. All right, before we all go to prison, all right, so I've only got one link for Digital Dojo tonight. It's fairly decent, though. It's from securityinabox.org/en/tactics. And they've put together several beginner-ish but decent little guides on different parts of securing yourself on the computer, right? I got some couple of guides on malware, one on physical security, password management, a couple on securing your files, several on online communications and phones. And, I mean, these things aren't super uber high-level knowledge. But if you're just getting started, or you know somebody who's just getting started and wants something to read, these are a good place to kind of get your feet wet and get the idea. You know, nothing earth-shattering here, nothing new, just decent little collections of information. I mean, they do cover Tor, of all things, so I guess when I say basic, it's not that basic. But I don't know, I look at that and think it's the basics.
Pretty cool.
So, But anyways, so that's all I've really got for tonight. Listen to the stream, always working on it. Pure decking every Saturday. Well, not every Saturday. If I'm sick off my ass, we're going to skip it. Or if I can't drag everybody's ass out of GTA 5 to do a show, then, well. Laura's still doing his shows on Tuesdays, I believe. Of course, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback form, the subreddit, the IRC channel. I think we're still accepting Indian smoke signals and TCP IP via carrier Avian. And, send us your own murder mystery puzzle. You know, see if you can outdo Are You. I don't know. His is pretty good to start with here. But, morbid curiosity is always fun. That's really all I've got for tonight. Anybody have anything they want to get in before we close out the show?
No, nothing.
Nothing? All right. Well,
those are out.
Yeah. I've been trying to come up with like some kind of a sign-off, right? Got nothing that's not corny or stupid, so.
We could I'll blatantly rip off Paul.com. Over and out!
They haven't really been doing that. Well, kind of. Yeah. I'm just going to play the Pac-Man thing and close off the recording.
Get off my lawn? No, that's mine.